Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the program. Expecting some winter weather this weekend as we are into the 2019 calendar now. And let's hope that that doesn't affect any of our sports happenings this weekend. A big week of high school games. Some really good games on this Friday night that should not be affected, but it looks like a lot of Saturday slate. In fact, some of the games have already been moved because of predicted weather that could come in tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with that, but a busy night. IU is in action at Maryland. We'll have that game live here on the Big X. And, of course, I mentioned some big high school games tonight as well. We'll talk about all of that and more in this edition of the program. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining me on the show today, first we'll start in segment one with our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at IU Maryland, a couple factoids for that game. Also, Archie Miller with a press conference yesterday to kind of update the status of the Hoosiers before his team departed for Maryland. We'll catch up on some of the things that he had to say. We'll take a look at the high school basketball slate for tonight, some of the bigger games out there as well in segment number one. Segment two, Jared Morris of Assembly Call will join us. And, of course, Jared will also be with us later tonight at the conclusion of the IU-Maryland game with the Assembly Call IU postgame show, which can be heard right here on the Big X Sports Radio after the IU network coverage wraps up with every game, not just tonight, but every game here on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip, he makes his return to the program after a couple of weeks off during the holiday time. Kyle and I will talk some high school basketball. We'll talk some recruiting, little Keon Brooks, little David Bell from the football side of recruiting as well with his recent decision to stay in state. Unfortunately, not Indiana, but he'll play at Purdue. We'll catch up with Kyle about that as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some of our Hoosier headlines for the day. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. IU opened up yesterday as a 5-point underdog at Maryland. Ken Pomeroy, his site, puts the spread at 4 and gives Indiana only a 35% chance of victory at Maryland. Again, Maryland, we've talked about a lot this week. They've got really 2 to 3 key players from the offensive end of things. They've got one really solid defensive player, but they're a young team that's getting better, and that's can be clearly seen. They've won 2 road games back-to-back now, and they also are on a 4-game winning streak. So it's a team that's solid and getting better, and I think by the end of the season will be a really competitive team in the Big Ten tournament. Yesterday, Archie Miller with an update before the team left for Maryland. Rob Fennessy at that time had not been cleared to play in the game today. The quote from Archie was, quote, "There's no indication he'll play for us on Friday," end quote. I've seen and heard a lot of questioning about Rob Fennessy and, of course, Race Thompson as well, who both have had extended time out with concussions. Some people very critical of IU, wondering if the Kevin Wilson concussion mismanagement, I guess you could call it, on the football side of things a number of years ago, maybe has led Indiana as a school to have a tougher concussion protocol before players can return. But also, take that aside, I think it's clear, and I know this from the high school side of things, with each year that passes, concussions how they're treated, how they're identified, are being taken more and more serious. I can remember this year, to even be involved with a high school program, you've got to take a very in-depth concussion online course about how to identify a potential concussion, what to do, what the protocol is for someone to return. So it's obviously something that I'm sure not just Indiana, but colleges across the country, medical professionals across the country, high school athletic associations across the country, clearly taking concussion protocol to another level. And some fans, I don't know, understand a head injury and how severe that they can be and have been. Obviously, Race Thompson, we don't know any details, but it's safe to say he had a very severe head injury to be out as long as he's been. Indiana's not going to keep any schools, not going to keep somebody out that could help him or that's a scholarship player, whether it's practice only help him in games as well, that could be a part of the success of the team. So some silliness, I thought, yesterday when Archie made that announcement. A lot of fans upset. Rob isn't going to play, and I get that completely. He's been a big lift and a surprising lift, especially early in the season, to this team, and definitely a player that you feel a little bit more comfortable with Indiana's chances when he's in the lineup, which is a great thing given that he's a freshman, but no reason to get overworked about a player returning from concussion protocol. Obviously, you can bet that the coaches and everyone associated with the university would want any player back, especially one that can help and make a victory even more possible. So that was a little silly, I thought, but it's where we're at today with concussions and how serious they are. A lot of extra things go into releasing a player for their return from that type of injury. Archie also said that he was hopeful Deron Davis would be able to play at Maryland tonight. He's been in and out of practice, was what Archie said about Deron yesterday. He did warm up in the Michigan game, so it was kind of a game-time decision for him not to play. I think a lot of people do expect him to make an appearance or be available at least some in the game tonight against Maryland on the road, but we'll have to wait and see. So injuries continuing to be something that slows this team down. You know, you never want to go into a game not full strength. You never want to be missing a potential starter or a key bench player from your rotation, especially when you're taking on a team that's surging and it's on the road and it's a Big Ten game. And a win tonight, let's just be honest, with the schedule that Indiana has played to restart Big Ten play, of course getting a win over Illinois, losing on the road at Michigan, getting a win tonight would be big because Nebraska comes to Assembly Hall on Monday. You sure like Indiana's chances at home, but Nebraska is no slouch at all. And then a number of road games coming up for IU, including a game at Purdue. So a win tonight on the road, really, I think, would be in many ways a bonus, especially coming off of that Michigan loss. If you can get a win tonight, then come back and take care of business with Nebraska at home on Saturday. I think that's a pretty good start to the year. I know some fans might expect to win every game, and I'm sure that that's reasonable. But tonight, a win at Maryland, I think, would be a good deal for this team as they get ready to come back and play Nebraska. High school basketball tonight, good night of games. Probably no bigger game than Floyd Central at Jeffersonville. The Highlanders ranked number 3. They are 9-1. Just 1-0 in Hoosier Hills Conference play is Floyd Central thus far. They've got a lot of conference games left. Jeffersonville, they are 7-3 overall. They are now 2-0 in conference play. And even though there are a lot of conference games left to be played by both teams, a win for whoever tonight could really give them a potential leg up in the race for the Hoosier Hills Conference crown for either Floyd Central or Jeffersonville. 7:30 tip-off, the varsity game tonight. The last 30 years of this series, Jeffersonville has had a commanding lead on Floyd Central. They've had 29 wins and Highlanders 6 wins. That's in the last 35 years. But Floyd Central has won the last 3 times that these two teams have met. So historically, over the last 35 years, it's been a Jeffersonville-dominated series. More recently, the Highlanders, over the last couple seasons, have had their way with Jeffersonville. They played last at the 4A sectional semifinal up at Seymour. That was a great game. Jeffersonville trying to cut it at the very end. They fell by 4 points, 50-46, the final score in that game. Should be a good one tonight. Again, two Division I level players going against each other. Kobe Barnes is committed to Indiana State. Trey Coleman, just a junior for Jeffersonville, but he's being recruited very heavily by Indiana State as well. Would not be surprised ultimately if that's where he ends up to play college basketball. So potentially two future Sycamores going against each other tonight here in Southern Indiana at a big high school game. The other game on the schedule that really stands out from a competitive standpoint, interesting to see the result tonight, is Silver Creek taking on Brownstown. Two really good programs in Southern Indiana. A big Mid-Southern Conference game as well, so conference implications in that contest. And it's a big mid-season game, mid-season challenge to see where you're at against one of the other great teams year in and year out. Both of those programs have a lot of success. Also, New Albany tonight, they will host Madison in a Hoosier Hills Conference game. And I saw that Chris McIntyre, the New Albany baseball coach, announcing that Friday night at the game tonight at New Albany, Josh Rogers, a former New Albany baseball and basketball player who went on to play at the University of Louisville and, of course, was drafted by the New York Yankees and eventually traded to the Baltimore Orioles system and made his way to the MLB this year, got his debut and was able to pitch a couple games for the Baltimore franchise. He will be honored at the game tonight and be signing autographs in the cafeteria after the game. So neat to see a local guy that's found success to be recognized while he is home. I think he told me earlier this week when I ran into Josh that he leaves or begins a spring training with pitchers and catchers reporting on February 2nd, I think is what he said his departure date is. And he also promised to come in and join us for an hour as co-host of this program before he leaves to return to activities with spring training for Baltimore. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. IU basketball tonight, 7 o'clock is the tip-off. That means pregame coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio at 6 o'clock tonight. And then, of course, after the game, Jared Morris and the Assembly Call crew, they will join us for the – they will have the Assembly Call IU postgame show, I should say, here on the Big X Sports Radio. So no high school stuff tonight, unfortunately, because of the conflict with IU, but we'll have wall-to-wall IU coverage beginning at 6 o'clock tonight. Speaking of IU playing on Friday night, there are obviously some Big Ten basketball games on Fridays, but there is there was something passed by the football coaches, the FBS football coaches, that they strongly recommend to all conferences not to play on Friday nights, that night should be reserved for high school football, for high school sports. Of course, the Big Ten has had a number of football games on Friday nights in this past season, which created conflicts for us a few times and obviously for all the local high school programs in the footprint of the Big Ten Conference. So it'll be interesting to see if that motion or vote gets any traction with the conferences. Obviously, a lot of television dollars involved in the decision to play some of these college games on Friday nights to spread things out more, to give more opportunities for there to be games broadcast and commercials sold. But it was pretty neat to see that because I obviously, if you've listened to this program at all when that topic has come up, fully believe that high school sports, high school football, high school basketball, Friday night should be left open for that. That's the one night for high school sports to be celebrated and for the fans to participate in their local community. So interesting to see that that was passed or at least discussed and voted upon. We'll see if the conferences with all the big money involved take any action on the recommendation from its football coaches. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll take a look at IU Maryland. We'll talk lots of IU basketball coming up in the next segment with Jared right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call joining us to talk IU basketball on a game day for the Hoosiers. And I tell you what, Jared, as I read more and prepare more for this game tonight, IU at Maryland, I think this is a very good but young Maryland team that has a very bright future this season and potentially moving forward as well. Real challenge for Indiana tonight, a big one again on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be a big challenge for Indiana. You know, you look at this Maryland team, and for a while there, I don't think anyone was really quite sure what to make of them because they hadn't played a particularly tough schedule. You know, they had lost a couple of home games to Virginia and Seton Hall, you know, who are obviously both good teams. But then they went on the road at Minnesota, were down 6 at halftime and outscored them by 20-something in the second half. You know, and then Minnesota has been a pretty good team this year. So this is a team, you know, we knew they would have talent. You know, they've got a McDonald's All-American who came in, and Jalen Smith. Bruno Fernando got a lot better as last year went on, and Anthony Cowan, you know, is one of the best guards in the league. But it seems like they've started to put it together a little bit. And then, you know, they have weaknesses like every team. They turn it over too much. They don't, you know, force turnovers. You know, Mark Turgeon is not a guy who scares you from an X's and O's standpoint on the other sideline. But at Maryland and given Indiana's lack of depth, you know, and you know, just kind of difficulty executing for 40 minutes, there are a lot of reasons to think that this, you know, this game is going to present some challenges. And so I think, you know, obviously like any game for Indiana, Romeo and Juwan are going to have to be at the top of their games. But Indiana's going to need, you know, a third scorer to emerge. They're going to need a guy like Clifton Moore to come in and give them, you know, 7 to 10 good minutes if Deron Davis can't go. And if he can go, you know, that would obviously be huge, you know, in defending Fernando. But it's going to be a challenge. And if Indiana can come away with a victory, it would be a big achievement. And really, you know, obviously, you know, any Big Ten road win is going to be big and help you build some momentum. So hopefully the Hoosiers are able to go out there and kind of defy the odds and do that tonight.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, our guest, and I've already told you earlier the program, I'll say it again, you can catch Jared and his team with Assembly Call after the IU Network coverage wraps up to tonight. Win, lose, or draw, a lot of recap, a lot of thoughts about IU basketball, a good place to kind of unwind after what could be a very tough game on the road. One of the things before we get back into tonight's game and some other IU basketball topics to get with that I wanted to bring up with you was something I mentioned earlier in the show, and yesterday Archie Miller had one of his pretty standard press conferences where the day before a weekend game that he gives an update on the team before they travel out. And, of course, injuries have been a constant topic of these press conferences because Indiana's had a lot of injuries to deal with this season. I was a little disappointed, and IU fans are rabid. I love how they follow recruiting. I love the interest they give the Assembly Call. They give this show. They give lots of other IU opportunities out there to listen, to read, whatever it may be. I was a little disappointed, though, when Archie said Rob Finnessy would likely not play tonight. He's still going through the concussion protocol. Some people just losing their minds thinking it's ridiculous how long it's taken, that maybe IU is put extra rules or restrictions on
precautions.
Yeah, there you go, on a player returning from a concussion because of maybe some incidents with the football program some years back or whatever the case is. But concussions are serious, and I mentioned this earlier in the show that even as a high school coach, you've got to take with each year a test on concussions, and it seems to get more in depth. You've got to know how to identify them, what the treatment protocol is. This is obviously something at all levels of sports. I've even seen it in some youth sporting events, and I've even seen states pass laws that youth sports coaches have to be educated on concussions and what the protocol is for a return. So that was a little disappointing because head injuries are serious, and thankfully medical professionals are learning a lot more about the causes and how severe they can be, which has brought a whole nother level of precautionary measures to colleges and sports across the board, which I think is great.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten exasperated and bewildered by the reaction of some fans to, you know, the longer absence. Obviously, Race Thompson's been out with a concussion pretty much all season, and Rob is, you know, nearing a month where he's been out. You know, I will say, sometimes when we get on Twitter and a few people, you know, getting our mentions, or you know, you see a couple comments, it can feel like it's, you know, there's more people thinking that than there really are. And I think when you actually kind of look at the numbers, it's a vast, vast minority of IU fans that are frustrated with the long absence or kind of questioning or, you know, wondering if Indiana, if the university is putting the basketball program at a disadvantage because they're making them hold guys out longer and all these other things that are going on. You know, so I don't think the numbers of people are that big. I think the vast majority of IU fans are very reasonable and are proud of the university for taking this so seriously. And I think the other thing is, you know, I think this shows that there is still a portion of the sports fan public that maybe hasn't quite caught up with what the current science is telling us about concussion. You know, the NFL for a long time, which, you know, is the most popular sport, and I think people take a lot of cues from the NFL. You know, they didn't take concussion seriously. And for a long time, you know, if a guy's out for a concussion, you think, okay, he's out for this game, but he's back next week. And it's almost like we got conditioned to believing it was a 1 or 2 week injury. As you said, we know so much more about head injuries now. And one of the biggest things I think people need to understand about concussions is there isn't a standard return timetable like for an ACL or like for an ankle sprain. It can be really dependent on, it is really dependent on the person, and there are so many factors that can go into it. You know, family history, sleep habits, like on and on and on. There's a whole list if you go look at the protocol. And so I think this is hopefully what this situation does is help some people who aren't as caught up on the latest science get caught up, and we have just a better understanding of what it means going forward for a guy to have a concussion. And it what needs to happen and what is happening is that player has to be, you know, not only has to just be able to go about his daily life without headaches, they have to do, you know, different levels of exercise at different, you know, different levels of strenuousness and then not have headaches after that. So there's an entire process before the guy that can get cleared. And as much as we want to see these guys play, let's remember that they want to play even more. The coaches want to get them out there even more. You know, everybody at the university wants the, you know, wants them to get out there and wants the team to win. But the most important thing is their long-term health. And you cannot mess with guys' heads. That messes with your entire life. So I'm proud of the university for the way that they're handling it. And I've seen nothing that suggests that they are, you know, being unreasonable and overcautious. You know, they're following the protocol and being as cautious as they should be with the head injury of a student athlete.
We're talking with Jared Morris. Jared is with the Assembly Call. You can find out more at assemblycall.com and follow him and his team at Assembly Call on Twitter. Back to Maryland for just a moment. What are one or two things about this team, other than it being a road game in the Big Ten Conference, which they're all going to be tough, and if you need any proof of that, see Ohio State against Rutgers earlier this week. But what are things about this Maryland team that concerns you for tonight?
Well, you know, one of the things that concerns me is they are a team that you can really that you can really attack in transition. They crash the offensive glass. They are, I think, in the top 40 in the country in offensive rebounding. And so they really crash the glass. They get second chance points. But what that means is to counter that, you've got to go the other way and beat them in transition. Because if they've got guys crashing the glass, you want to get out in transition. And Indiana has been very, very bad in transition this year. I mean, Indiana is in the 26th percentile nationally. And if you think back to before the season, that was an emphasis. That was a focus. And unfortunately, Indiana's guards, Romeo included, have not done a good job in transition opportunities. Too many turnovers, you know, and just not enough finishing at the basket. You know, almost overpassing at times, being a little bit too passive, not aggressive enough. And so I think for Indiana to win, you know, Maryland's been a pretty good half-court defensive team. So I think Indiana's going to have to counter that offensive rebounding of Maryland with getting out in transition and doing a better job of getting points in transition. And that's not something that we've seen them do. So I think that's obviously going to be key. And then from a defensive standpoint, you know, Juwan and Justin Smith are both very good individual defenders. They have very difficult matchups tonight because Bruno Fernando is 6'10 and strong. And Jalen Smith is 6'10 and strong and talented as a freshman. And so, you know, Archie talked about how Justin Smith is one of the most improved defenders he's ever coached. Well, that's really going to be put to the test tonight. And you know, Justin's going to be at a height disadvantage. He's going to really have to use his quickness, use his intelligence, his smarts to out-duel Jalen Smith. And I think Juwan is going to have to, you know, obviously challenge Bruno Fernando for positioning, but we know how important he is to the team, and he can't foul. So I think if Bruno Fernando goes 9 for 10 from the field and gets some easy buckets, we just have to accept that and go the other way because he's going to be able to get those. What we can't let happen are a bunch of offensive rebound putbacks and a bunch of free throws, because when Fernando goes for 24, 25 points, it's because he's getting those offensive rebounds and free throws. If we can keep him to 14, 16 points, something like that, you know, even if he's efficient shooting down low, if that keeps Juwan on the court, then we give ourselves a fighting chance because Juwan might be able to outscore him on the other end.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, with Rob Phinisee out, obviously some question marks about guard play and really the point guard spot as a whole. Devontae Green, Al Durham, and a lot of people prefer Romeo Langford with the ball primarily as the point guard. Your thoughts on those three, and who do you prefer to see with Rob out have the ball in their hands a lot tonight?
Yeah, I mean, look, Rob is the true point guard on this team. That is clear. And so I think until he gets back, we almost just need to put the notion of a quote-unquote point guard to rest. Like, just because a guy brings the ball up the court doesn't necessarily mean that he's the point guard. Like, we don't have – if Rob's out, we don't have that guy. There isn't a Yogi Ferrell out there that's going to orchestrate everything. And I think it's been pretty clear, you know, through these last few games, how the offense, you know, operates best, especially in half-court situations. And that's when Romeo has the ball in his hands, you know, and playing a two-man game with Juwan Morgan. And so that doesn't mean that there isn't a place for Devontae Green's playmaking and for Al Durham. And Archie even said he wants those two guys, you know, to be aggressive, but to be aggressive looking to pass, you know, thinks they're missing open shooters, doesn't want them taking so many challenge shots at the rim. And so I think there's certainly room for that. But I think the guy that you want and that you need the ball in his hands is Romeo Langford. So you might not call him a point guard, but I certainly think that he is going to be the offensive initiator probably more often than not, especially on the road. You know, because, you know, that's where, I mean, your best players have to really rise to the occasion on the road. And we're starting to see that when push comes to shove, you know, Archie is defaulting to put the ball in the hands of your best playmaker. And, you know, more often than not, that's been pretty successful. And so I think we're going to have to see more of that tonight.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, our guest. One other thing, I watched bits and pieces of the Maryland-Minnesota game, and Maryland went to a zone defense, which was actually very effective. They went on to get the road win at Minnesota earlier this week. Thoughts on IU going against the zone? I know that it really seems to at times make a team, and I'm not just talking about Indiana, but a little stagnant, and it's not something that often you're used to going against. You think, could the Hoosiers see a zone tonight? And your thoughts about IU going against the zone?
Yeah, I think we could see a zone. I'm not too concerned about a zone when we have our starting lineup in there, because I think Justin Smith in particular has shown a very high basketball IQ, you know, finding spots in the zone, and he typically tends to score well in the zone. You know, we saw Juwan Morgan, you know, shoot the lights out when Butler went zone. And so I think, you know, he makes that difficult, and he's so smart playing in the middle of the zone as well. So, you know, I think that could limit some of Romeo's ability to drive. So, you know, from that perspective, it concerns me a little bit. But I think you've also got, you know, Al and Devontae, who aren't lights out shooters, but they're guys who have proven that they can knock down some shots. So I think that lineup could play okay against the zone. And I think, you know, a zone might give Evan Fitzner some spots where he could get some threes, you know, but I worry about it a little bit more as we have to go deeper into our bench. So, you know, we'll see. I would imagine that we will see both for Maryland, and what will be important, you know, this is where not having that kind of quote unquote point guard can hurt. You know, it's going to be really important for, you know, the veterans, the leaders out there to recognize what's happening, you know, and make sure that we get into the right sets, especially when we're playing on the opposite end from our bench. You know, our offense seems to run a little bit better when the team is playing offense on the side that the bench is on, because Archie, I think, can communicate a little bit better. And obviously, you would hope to not need quite so much coach communication during the game. But right now, you know, that's just not where the team is at. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, Maryland's a good, solid defensive team, so I think whatever they decide to play, they're going to present some challenges, especially with their size at the rim. And it's just going to be important for Indiana to recognize that and really be patient and execute, you know, and just make sure they're getting good shots every time down and not turning it over.
Absolutely. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest. How important, and I don't want to look ahead over tonight's game by any stretch of the imagination, but how important is – the Monday game against Nebraska, who's very solid themselves at Assembly Hall, with the schedule at Maryland tonight, at Purdue, following that Nebraska home game, at Northwestern, Michigan again at home. You look at some tough games coming up and some tough road environments coming up when Indiana does return Monday for that Nebraska game. That is such an, the way I see it, such a big game for IU to win no matter what happens tonight.
Yep. I mean, you know, I think the most likely scenario is that Indiana probably loses tonight and then comes back home and plays well and gets the win. And I think, and you know, look, Nebraska is a good team. Like you said, they've played well at Assembly Hall. So that's no given by any means. But I think every home game is essential. You know, I don't, winning on the road is not impossible, you know, and I mean, shoot, Maryland just showed that, you know, they can go up and get a double-digit win at Minnesota. There will be some wins there for the taking on the road, whether they win tonight or not. But you have got to take care. You know, if you want to compete for a Big Ten title, if you want to be, you know, one of the teams that gets a bye or a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, then you have to win all or the vast majority of your home games. And so I think every single home game becomes really important. And I think the timing of the Nebraska game is especially important because you don't want to be limping into back-to-back road games against Purdue and Northwestern having lost three games in a row. So, you know, whatever happens, you got to, you know, come home, get right. It's like, you know, a little oasis in the middle of these road games, and you have to use that to your benefit. So, I think it's really important, but I think all the home games are really, really important this year with the way the Big Ten race is setting up.
Jared Morris with the Assembly Call. Again, don't forget Jared and his team tonight after the IU Network coverage wraps up shortly after the conclusion of IU at Maryland. We'll have the Assembly Call IU postgame show right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Jared, great to catch up. It was a few weeks off with holidays mixed in between, but glad to have you back with us talking IU basketball, especially on a game day for the Hoosiers, and we'll do it again next Friday.
Absolutely. Always my pleasure, Matt. Have a good weekend.
All right, Jared Morris, Assembly Call with us Fridays. Lots of good IU basketball information from Jared when he is with us. And seriously, if you haven't checked out the post-game show, make sure you do so. It's a great opportunity to win, lose, or draw for Indiana. It's a great opportunity to hear some very thoughtful insight. You can participate in the conversation as well. And a great way to kind of wrap up post-game after an IU contest. So make sure you check it out tonight, assemblycall.com, or we'll have the broadcast of the show right here once the IU Network coverage is concluded as well. We're going to head to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join me. We'll talk some high school hoops. We'll talk David Bell, Keon Brooks, Romeo Langford, and more. Stay with us for that after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday program. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star is my guest, and Kyle is with us Fridays here on the program because of the holidays, Christmas and New Year, and some other days off from the program. It's been a couple weeks, Kyle, so we're going to play some catch-up on a couple of fairly popular subjects, but more importantly, it's just great to be have you back with us here on the air.
Yeah, it's been a while. Thanks for having me back, Matt, and Happy New Year to you guys there, and as always, appreciate you having me on Fridays every week.
Absolutely. First, I want to start with a subject as far as IU football goes that did not go the way of the Hoosiers, at least a recruiting battle, and that was David Bell. He made his decision since we spoke last. He flirted with that Ohio State hat when he went to make his decision, but ultimately put the Purdue hat on. And another big pickup for Jeff Brohm, another big in-state get for Jeff Brohm. And you think about David Bell and Rondale Moore on the field together, definitely a big pickup for Purdue and for David Bell, who is a just tremendous athlete all the way around. Obviously a big decision for him to stay and play college football in the state of Indiana, not going to go to the Ohio State, the Penn State, the other bigger schools that were hot after his services.
Yeah, David Bell, one of those guys who definitely had options if he wanted to leave the state. And, you know, he went through the process, I think, you know, once the matter of the Jeff Brohm coaching situation was decided and he ultimately stayed at Purdue instead of leaving for Louisville. He was pretty much all in on Purdue at that point. You know, IU, you know, once that was happening, I know IU was able to get him in there for a visit. He liked IU. But it seemed like, you know, it's been a while now that we've kind of known Purdue was kind of neck and neck with Penn State, you know, for his services. And I really think, you know, the fact of staying home, close to home, the fact that, you know, he gets to play in this offense with Rondale Moore, and, you know, you've seen what Purdue has done here, the bowl game notwithstanding, offensively, you know, the last 2 years under Brohm. It just was really appealing, I think. Not only to stay home, but to play in an offense where, you know, he's gonna thrive. I think it's gonna be a really good fit for him, and you know, a lot of people around here really happy, obviously, that he's gonna stay in state. A lot of Purdue fans really happy that they're gonna have him for the next, you know, 3 years at least playing football for the Boilermakers.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest, and Warren Central at 44 straight boys basketball victories. Getting not too far out from an opportunity to tie or maybe set a new record for consecutive wins. They've got the tough Marion County tournament to finish out this week and some other tough opponents coming up between now and when that new streak could be set. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But David Bell has not been with the basketball team due to an injury, but he is expected to return soon. Is that the case?
He came back this week, Matt. He played. He came off the bench in the opening game against Speedway. They won that game easily, and then he played again on Wednesday night against North Central, and that was I think it was 82-29. And North Central's young and struggling, but a chance for him to get back and kind of get his basketball legs underneath him again. And he's not gonna go out and he wasn't that type of player anyway to go score, you know, 25-30 points, but. Probably one of the best defensive guards around. He can guard bigger players too. So he just adds another weapon to a team and a team that really, I think, has gotten better, you know, without him, you know, just because other guys have had to step into bigger roles. So ideally, you know, this has kind of worked out perfectly for them to be able to add him back now. And assuming he can kind of get himself going in basketball condition right away. But yeah, the 44 game streak is phenomenal. I mean, it's everything. You use every adjective to describe it, and it's a unique thing. Or if they win tonight, it'll be 45. And, you know, going back and looking at the history of it, Crispus Attucks in 55, 56, who was actually over a 2-season span, had 45 wins in a row, and that was a record that stood for 50 years, and that was kind of the mark, the standard, until Lawrence North with the Greg Oden and Mike Conley teams got past that and ultimately set it at 50. But, you know, they're kind of in you know, historic territory now. There's only three teams ahead of them, the Lawrence North team, Bloomington South. If you remember, they got beat by Jeffersonville that year in the regional final. They were at 49, and then, of course, Attucks at 45. So they're right in that range right now. And if they pull it off, they're going to have to really go to work and beat some good teams. Pike tonight and probably Lawrence Central tomorrow. And then those two teams are both, you know, I think, legit top five teams in the state. So it's not going to be easy to get there. And then they've got Lawrence Central again next week in the regular season. So they've got a tall task ahead of them, but you know, they've met every challenge so far.
Kyle, we've got some big games down this way tonight, notably Floyd Central taking on Jeffersonville, the Highlanders, number 3 in 4A basketball. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to see, I know you've seen Kobe Barnes and are very familiar with him. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to see Floyd Central in action this year, but I know Warren Central, you just spoke of. Lawrence Central's very good. I got a chance to see them play New Albany, and they likely will meet, if everything works out tonight, in the semifinals for the Marion County Championship over the weekend as well. So you get a look there at some of the top two, three, four teams in the state in the 4A classification, a potential big matchup looming up your way, and then a big game down here tonight. If Floyd Central can kind of complete the regular season rivalry sweep, but they could do so tonight if they can defeat Jeffersonville.
Yeah, I think Floyd Central, Matt, and I haven't seen them in person. I've just, you know, seen highlights and stuff, and the Lawrence North game they played up here, you know, saw some highlights. Obviously know Kobe Barnes very well, and I think they're one of those teams that on any given night, you know, they get into a tournament game. Their style of play, they're tough defensively. They play good possession basketball, fundamentally sound, well-coached, all that, on a given night, I think they could beat anybody. You know, up here, there's kind of a – you're talking about this yesterday. I think there's a tier of teams if you start putting them in tiers. And I would put Lawrence Central in that top tier now after watching them play a few times. I think with Warren Central and Carmel, you know, I think those three, and then we'll find out about Pike. You know, Pike's got as good a wins as anybody. They beat Lawrence Central. They beat Center Grove handily. But can they do it consistently? We'll find out. They play Warren tonight, so that'll be a huge game. They have a kid, Amani Jones, who it's a good story. He only averaged 5 points a game last year. He's averaging 21 a game this year, and he's done it just by, you know, just getting to work and really got his body in condition. So I always enjoy stories like that, and having a great senior year for Pike. So we'll find out tonight. I think there's probably a tier of teams up here anyway, maybe three teams, and Pike could be in that group too. But there's a lot of teams around here, I think, that are right in that next group behind them, and I'm curious to see, you know, who finds out, who kind of falls from that group, and who maybe can come into that top tier of teams.
We're talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle is with us on Fridays. We talk a lot of recruiting, a lot of high school stuff as well. I've hit the Keon Brooks recruitment pretty often this week, coming out of the holiday break, and I know that his La Lemire team, we think of the holiday time as a big time for high school basketball tournaments in our state and the opportunity for teams to play some additional games while school is out. But a team like La Lemire that has no travel restrictions, that is not part of a governing body like the IHSA and other states as well that don't have as strict rules, they're able to really take advantage of that time to do some traveling, play some teams that they normally would never see during the regular season, which are also opportunities for college coaches to get out and make some evaluations if their schedules match up with availability of those tournaments. So Keon Brooks has had a heck of a travel schedule here the last couple weeks, so I'm sure a lot of his focus is on his La Lemire team, is on his recruitment and finishing out his decision on where he's going to go. But everyone we've talked to the last week and a half or so, has said they believe the decision could come anywhere from a couple weeks from now to a month from now. They see that kind of being a solid time frame, although he has not confirmed anything specifically along those lines. I'm curious your thoughts on that time frame and anything you might have to add about the latest on Keon Brooks, because, boy, he's a big name out there that a lot of IU fans are buzzing about on a daily basis, wondering if he'll join Trace Jackson Davis and finish out what would be tremendous back-to-back in-state recruiting classes for Archie Miller.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious myself. I thought maybe by now it would have happened already. You know, I haven't, you know, through the holidays, and I haven't seen La Lemire here recently since they came down here a couple times to Southport, and then they played Brownsburg and caught up with him there. And at that time, you know, it was just the way Keon was talking was very pro IU. That was actually the same weekend Trace Jackson Davis had committed. You know, and I haven't heard anything, you know, to go away from that necessarily, that IU doesn't stand in a good position with him. And you know, like you said, I mean, that'd be a huge, huge get when you've already got Trace on board and you bring another guy in who, similar size, not necessarily similar games, but you know, guys who obviously like playing with each other, like each other off the floor. So, you know, I think IU still stands in a really good position with him. If I would have had to bet, I would have thought Keon would have committed before Trace, you know, if you would have asked me before the season. But, you know, so I don't know what, you know, definitely you want to get all your ducks in a row and make sure you got everything ready to go. But I would anticipate a decision coming sooner than later.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Sunday night, big deal on the Big Ten Network. It's the Journey Romeo Langford edition. It's the season debut. I think each new episode on Sundays, they feature a couple different storylines, a couple different players from the Big Ten Conference. And I got a chance to interview and be part of that. And also, I saw the little highlight clip they sent me a few days ago. I think it's now made its way across social media. Some of the things that we spoke about and some of the other things that were in the highlight clip, at least, a lot of the things that you took from the New Albany Southern Indiana arena to a statewide audience and beyond, as you found out about Romeo and some of the storylines and the fans and the atmosphere, we'll say, that went along with his time at New Albany. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Well, I didn't realize that. That'll be great. I I have to set my DVR, and that time, I think, as time goes by, you know, and the years pass, I think we'll look back on that, and I know I will, at least, and really appreciate being part of that and being able to make the trip down to New Albany so many times and or different areas just to see him play. That was definitely a special time for me, a time for New Albany, to get on the national map that way. And the numbers will stand for themselves and everything, but, you know, the things you think about, you know, the packed gyms and the autograph lines and just the way he carried himself through all that, I think those are the things you probably will remember more or at least as much as the talent on the floor.
Kyle Medinrip, the Indianapolis Star, with us on Fridays. Kyle, great to catch up. Enjoy your weekend. I think you're at the Marion County Tournament tonight. Some great semifinal games there. And, of course, everybody wanting to see if it's Lawrence Central in the championship game. But we'll stay in touch and be talking again next Friday here on the show.
Okay. Looking forward to it, Matt. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. And that'll do it for this Friday edition of the program. Don't forget, unfortunately, due to Friday night IU basketball, which is a great thing when IU plays, believe me, we'll have no high school basketball coverage tonight on the Big X, meaning we'll miss that big Jeffersonville-Floyd Central game. But starting at 6 o'clock, we have IU Maryland, the pregame show with Don Fisher and crew. That's always a great opportunity to get the very latest and hear from Archie Miller moments, hour or so before the game with the latest on injuries and maybe who's for sure going to play and who for sure is not going to play in this contest on the road tonight. The tip-off of that game is at 7, and then when everything is done tonight, we'll have the Assembly Call IU postgame show coming your way on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget also, IU's right back at it again on Monday. They return home to take on a solid Nebraska team that has had a nice start to the season as well. So I'd like to say just another big game, but we've talked specifically about the next six games for Indiana because right after Nebraska, the following Saturday, a week from tomorrow, it's at Purdue for this Indiana team. So a lot of important games, including a lot of road games. So we'll see what happens tonight at Maryland against a young team with a lot of talent. But if you're Indiana, you got to come back home no matter what happens today at Maryland and record a victory at home, at least, over Nebraska on Monday. So make sure you check the game out tonight. If you're going to be out and about, we'll have the full play-by-play coverage with Don Fisher. And, of course, we'll have a lot more coming your way next week at 11 o'clock here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Don't forget, you can find us as a podcast on SoundCloud. You can download the free app or point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also look us up on Apple Podcast. If you would search the Hoosier Report, you can leave us a rating and a review. That would help us reach others that might be interested in this program on IU basketball and sports in Southern Indiana. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the IU game tonight. If you're not going to be able to watch IU, maybe you're at a great high school game across the area. Also, some weather expected, so be careful out there later tonight. And, of course, Saturday throughout the day, it looks like the potential is there for some wintry type weather. But have a great weekend. I'll be back with you Monday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.